In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we have an occasion of a celebration. It's a happy event, and it's an event in which we thank God for 50 years of marriage for Mr. and Mrs. Grider Lee. It's an important statement that's being made today. And it's a statement that is even more impressive in the kind of world in which we live, world which is so unstable, world in which is so unsteady, where nothing seems to mean anything because everything changes all the time. We see the situation where we celebrate 50 years of marriage, Golden Jubilee. 50 years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Lee came to the altar and vowed before God that they would be faithful, first of all, to Him in keeping their marriage vows. And that's an important thing. They vow before God to be faithful to each other in the confines of the sacrament of matrimony. The church requires certain things for people to be married, and there are important reasons why they make these requirements. They make these vows before God because it is through the sacrament of matrimony that new souls are created, souls that God creates in cooperation with the husband and wife. And these souls are meant to be one day with God in heaven. It is a very sublime work which the husband and wife undertake. They work with God. They work in order to make souls that are fit for heaven. And thus, because of this, there are certain requirements that the church insists upon. Because it is within the confines of marriage that the souls find a sanctuary, small innocent souls that are brought to them by God, that are given to them by God, are very vulnerable, and they're very supple. They're meant to be instructed in the ways of God, and it's done within the sanctuary of a home where there's a stability and an assurance of the fact that there's going to be some stability in that home with mother and dad there with them. And so this bond that's formed is one between the husband and the wife, is one that's indissoluble. It's meant to stick. And of course, through all of it, there are some ups, there are some downs, there are some difficulties that are involved. But as I say, it's for not only for the spouses, but also for their children, so that being firmly attached to their mother and father, they're led to God. They're led by the Catholic Church to their eternal home. It is the highest level to which man can reach, is to be with God in heaven. And God has gifted us with an intellect and a will in order that we might know God and that we might love God. It's the reason for those faculties. All other things that we do with our intellect and will are meant to lead us to that end. And it's that intellect and that will that's formed by the mother and the father. Granted, we can't force of free will, but they try to instruct them and lead them by example, by what they do, in order to help those children through, as they grow up, through their adolescence, and even through their adult life as well, in order to make them so that they understand the importance of their faith, the importance of the Catholic religion, and the importance of practicing virtue and being faithful themselves. And that teaching is done not just by word, but by example. It's interesting to note what some feared early on with regard to the problems that they were starting to see in society and the concerns that they had about it. It has to do with the evil of divorce. The evil of divorce. Here I will read something that's an interesting little commentary on that. It was from a book called The Wonderful Sacraments. It was written by a Jesuit, Father Doyle, in 1924. The book was intended for young adults, and it described each of the seven sacraments and talked about certain aspects of the sacraments in detail. Here is what, and it's an American, and here is what he writes about the problem, the difficulty, the evil of divorce. Here's what he says. Once the state interfered with the church in touching the essentials of marriage, the floodgates were thrown wide, and all men, even the legislators themselves, who were responsible for such interference, stood aghast at the sordid stream of human passions rushing irresistibly to certain destruction. The state, in sanctioning divorce, committed slow suicide, for there is no thinking man of today who does not see how this evil is ruthlessly choking the nation. Tendrils, at first weak and negligible, grow into steel-like cords that resist the pruning knife and axe, and by their over-luxuriant growth finally convert the beautiful garden into an impassable jungle. So has it been with divorce. What was lightly encouraged to grow is now too strong for uprooting. And the day is not far off when remorse for the negligence will be incapable of warding off the punishment. Man's vicious nature and vile passions, once freed from restraint, are not easily recaptured by empty appeals to patriotism and the nation's honor. Like a giant beast let loose from its bonds, man becomes the driven slave of his passionate whims and caprices. Marriage and its burdens are so easily unbearable when there is always the open door from the house into the law courts. The moment it is stated on grave authority that in 1975 there will be, according to present indications, one divorce for every two marriages, it is time to pause and think seriously on the preservation of this country. That was written in 1924. Almost 100 years ago. We are living in this situation today. We are living in the consequences of having these problems in society. Makes it hard to live. Makes it hard for children to see what their end is, what their purpose is, when there is such instability, when there is such problems in home life. I think some of the statistics say that even today there are more children that are born out of wedlock than in wedlock, which is horrifying. How will they ever know what God wants for them when there is such instability in their homes? And so we, on this occasion, even take greater joy in that stability that we see, the example that's been set. For each of us, it's certainly something we need to thank God for, because it's by the grace of God that this is possible. But it also is, we see the cooperation of Mr. and Mrs. Lee, Grider Lee, in order to cooperate in those graces that are given. It's also an inspiration to us also then to persevere in the good that we are set out to do. It's also something that we have to realize, too, that we know by the grace of God what God wants of us, what he expects of us, how we need to behave to fulfill the end for which he created us. These are things that we think about, we need to think about, and of course we need to thank God that we have been given the grace that to know that. So on this day, let us thank God. Let us also thank the Blessed Virgin Mary, who intercedes for us at the throne of God, praying for us, who is the one who obtains for us the graces that we receive by her intercession. So it is a great occasion. Let us celebrate. Let's thank God for it. And let's ask God for that continued fidelity for many more years of faithful marriage, in which they will operate within the confines of marriage and the grace of God, drawing down God's grace as they go through the continued years of marriage. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. One reminder regarding communion at Mass. The Mass will be now follow. Communion is for baptized Catholics. Okay, so it's for baptized Catholics, and they are in the state of grace. So they're not conscious of any serious sin, and they've had a recent confession. So just a reminder for that. And confession is received on the tongue, kneeling if possible. Okay, thank you very much.